Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That was the voice of Brian Brown, creator of the Brown Briefly. Brian started the Briefly and brought his high standards of hosting an intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy. A lot of humor Brian brought to everything he did. Brian's central concept was less is more, more or less, and he always offered us a lot more. So let me take a chance and here introduce the Brieflies. So guiding us from behind the board of the Voice of Vachon's Jean Bosch broadcast studio in bustling and bodacious downtown Vachon, and keeping us on course, even if it may be into the treetops or possible rabbit hole, is former airline pilot, treetop landing aficionado, flight instructor. You know, I'm not sure we should put those things together
I've been wondering about that, yeah.
Yeah, we might need to separate those.
Separate those a little bit, yeah.
Vachon Airport Commissioner, West Texas devotee, former military intelligence specialist, Truman O'Brien. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. This is getting more complicated every time.
We're competing with click and clack to see if
indeed,
we can have the most indeed, elaborate.
Indeed.
Sitting next to Truman is his wingmate, fellow treetop lander, arbitrator, mediator, two-time Fulbright scholar, high-end women's shoe salesperson, Pinkerton guard of Boeing's first 747, former tort law professor, Washington State Attorney, Assistant Attorney General Craig Bellis. How are you this morning, Craig?
I'm good, Bruce. I do have a correction, though, to make.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't actually Boeing's very first 747. It was Pan Am's first 747.
Okay.
like it made a difference. You know?
Exactly.
Did they make one for anybody else first?
No.
No, actually, they didn't. Yeah.
But accuracy is important to us here on the Brown Briefly.
That's right.
That's right. Yes. The truth matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So zooming in from Sydney, British Columbia, in the Canadian Inland Passage is a voice of indivisible Vachon, and the Vachon Climate Action Group, our indefatigable defender of democracy, who strives to create a livable planet overseen by a government we can all appreciate, or at least tolerate, Kevin Jones. Welcome,
that
Kevin.
Is me, and yes, I'm hiding out in Sydney, British Columbia, steps away from fantastic shops and restaurants, enjoying the Canadian ambiance in the Gulf Islands.
And it's been a good trip so far?
Absolutely. The wind, we had some more, you know, gale winds in the San Juan, or in the Strait of Juan de Fuca, so we sheltered here in Sydney. It's calm weather now, and we're going to venture out again into some anchorages.
Great. And when are you back onto the island?
We're drifting southward now, yes. So expect to be home in another 8 to 10 days.
Fantastic. Great. Well, it'll be good to have you back. Kevin keeps his boat in the slip right next to mine. We share a double slip together, so we see each other a lot.
That's great.
And also joining us today is Dr. Jim Bristow and Amy Dreher, who are articulate island supporters of the proposed Vachon Fire District levee lift. So before we introduce them and get to know about them a little bit, let's take a moment to remind ourselves that today is Tuesday, July 18th. It's the 199th day of the year. 166 days remain in 2023, and it's 2 days after the Vachon Strawberry Festival. So let's check in with everyone about the special things you experienced at this year's Strawberry Festival, if you were there. So Truman, how about you?
Well, of course, my favorite part of the affair was the parade. Of course, since my pal Craig and I got to MC it, that was just a lot of fun. This year was a little. It seemed like it was a little longer.
I think it was. Amy can tell us for sure. Yeah. I'm getting nodding. Yes,
yeah, it was a bit longer, and of course, one of my favorite was the Marine band.
That has gotten lots bigger.
I'll tell you what. Those folks really go all out. I mean, the jellyfish and the salmon and the orca, all of that stuff. It's really, really fun. But anyway, that was a highlight for me. I had to leave early during the festival because my niece was then visiting from Singapore. And so I had a chance to go over to the peninsula and spend an evening with her and her family. So that was great. A little barbecue that her brother had. So I missed most of the festival due to that.
Good. And Jim, you missed all of the festival because you're on the East Coast, right?
That's right. That's right. I missed it, and I'm sorry I did. You had much better weather than we've had.
Oh yeah.
So where are you exactly?
Right now I'm in New Hampshire, sort of central New Hampshire, visiting my brother-in-law's sister-in-law.
Okay. All those complicated family sort of dynamics, right?
Wow.
Exactly.
New Hampshire and Vermont has had some rugged weather.
Really been hammered.
A lot of rain here. Not so much flooding here, but not as much as in Vermont, but plenty of heavy rain.
Wow. Well, it's good to have you with us today.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So, Kevin, beside the lovely restaurants and shopping, what else is going on? And you missed the festival too, right?
I did, yeah. You know, the last report was from Ganges, and we talked about at anchor, a group of four or five orcas swam just very close to the boat. So that was fantastic. Since then, we visited Cabbage and Tumbo Islands. And it's sort of in this string of islands that are like Susha, Matia Patos, but this is in the Canadian Gulf Islands, right out off the tip of Saturna in the southern end of the Strait of Georgia, which, of course, can be known for some pretty significant waves. And so we had a two-day period. I always feel like I get away with something if I get out in the Strait of Georgia without being bounced around. But it was two spectacular days of calm weather. The sea, the water was almost like glass. And Tumbo and Cabbage Islands are a very hikeable, magical spot, sandy beaches and beautiful little forests with some antique houses from the original inhabitants. So it's a great day that we spent out there.
Oh, sounds fantastic. So, Amy, how about you? Have you recovered from festival yet?
No.
No. will you ever recover?
In a word.
I'm getting there. I think maybe an extra 5 hours of sleep a night for the next week will get me there. Yeah.
Well, yeah. What was the highlight for you of the festival?
There was some
over.
There, I mean, definitely Buckland Hill on Friday. The music, I mean, there was so much music, right? But Buckland Hill was a band that came over on Friday night, and they were just great down at the main stage. They were rocking. They're a new favorite find of mine for sure. And then, you know, a couple times I went up and down as I was zooming around on the bike and caught John Brown was amazing at the Homegrown stage. Kat Eggleston was awesome at the Homegrown stage. You know, the music for sure. And then the classic car parade, that's got my heart, just watching those cars go by and Captain Joe getting detailed with them. We did have to keep them moving along so nobody yeah. overheated. Yeah. But those were definitely some highlights of the weekend for me.
Fantastic. For those who may not know, Amy is the executive director of the Vashon Chamber of Commerce, who sort of is responsible for the Strawberry Festival. So you guys did a magnificent job. It was a very Vashon-oriented festival. And I think a lot of people appreciated that.
Absolutely.
So, Craig, what's up with you?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, the festival was fabulous, Amy. I really enjoyed it, and I got about as much of it in as I possibly could. Unlike you, for about an hour in the middle of the afternoon, I was able to run home and get a nap. and that 1 hour just did the trick so I could run back again and check out all the music. The music was terrific. I probably caught about half of all the music running from one place to another. Did you have a golf cart to move around?
No, there's a few things that I would love to grow Strawberry Festival into. Walkie-talkies is one of them.
Yeah.
A, because they're fun, and B, because they are enormously helpful.
Yeah.
And B, one or two golf carts on site.
Yeah, you really should
fantastic.
Have it.
Yeah, especially, you know, Journeyman did the biggest job on site, which is trash collection. Uh-huh. And, you know, that was done on foot and by cart. And we'd love to find a way to fund a golf cart for them. If they would love to come back next year, we would love to have them next year to do that thankless job that is one of the most important and biggest jobs on site. So a couple golf carts and some walkies.
I was thinking you would benefit from those dramatically, I'm sure. The car show was, of course, one of my favorite. I won an award, so I was very pleased.
I saw that. Yes. Wow.
Fancy award. the other thing that I did was I saw Ricky Lee Jones last night.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Darn.
I have a whole new appreciation of her and her singing, and the musicians with her were just incredible. And she's again, I guess, think she's playing again tonight. Yeah.
You know what? I have to tell you, when I first heard Ricky Lee Jones, I saw her as this little short, dark haired, curly, you know, complete opposite of what she really is. She is amazing.
Yeah, she is amazing.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah, everybody who was there was crazy about it. And it all worked very well to overcome some heartache we had last week. We lost our 13-and-a-half-year-old retriever. We had to put him to sleep, Oliver. So that was a sad thing. But the festival and the music and everything helped to heal our soul.
There you go. Hey, before we get into the rest of the show, I have a little quick announcement that I need to make, and that is that this Thursday, the 20th, at 7 p.m., there's going to be a forum of the school board candidates, and you can access the information in the link on the voiceofashon.org. On that website, there's a questionnaire for questions. They won't be taking questions live, but they will take questions from the website. So if you get a chance, go to voiceofashon.org. And there's a link and a questionnaire for the forum for the school board candidates on Thursday, the 20th at 7 p.m.
Fantastic. Thank you, Truman. For me, it was a great festival. You know, the museum does a strawberry or an ice cream social on Friday evening, and it was a blast. I mean, we had over 600 people come through the museum on Friday night. And what was most amazing to me is probably a good half quarter to a third of them were children. We have a children's area in the back and games and all that kind of stuff. And so a lot of young families, a lot of young children. And that's very special on Vashon when you get that kind of young children and families together. And of course, free ice cream helps, but it was a great time.
The free ice cream got me there.
There you go.
I kept sneaking in and getting a new little cup of ice cream.
How many cups did you actually eat?
I actually had two. Only two. The two different flavors. But that was a marvelous event. Well done.
Good. Well, thanks. Yeah. So it was a very successful Strawberry Festival. And like I said at the beginning, it was very Vashon-oriented. And Amy, I think a lot of people appreciate that. It's sort of what I classify as it's not the curly fries and sunglasses festival. It's the Vashon Strawberry Festival. So I appreciate that.
Thanks. Yeah. We keep trying to be all things to all people, which is a successful game, as you know.
and hard to do on Vashon. this day in 1848, Seneca Falls Convention opened, which launched the American suffrage movement, which ultimately led to the passage of the 19th Amendment, giving women the vote, nationally giving women the vote. And that was ratified in 1920. So it only took 72 years to get that in place, but there's always hope, right? In 1976, gymnast Nadia Comaneci was the first gymnast to be awarded a perfect 10 in an Olympic gymnastics event. And she did that on the uneven parallel bars.
I met her.
Did you?
Oh, really?
I met her at the World's Fair in Spokane.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she came and visited the Russian, or I should say the USSR pavilion. So.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. And Craig, I thought you would appreciate this. 1948, Juan Manuel Fangio, I think it's how it's Fangio, from Argentina, made his Formula One debut. Finished 12th in a Grand Prix of France, but he went on to win 4 Formula One titles, one of the greatest Formula One drivers in the world.
Envious.
And today is also World Listening Day, which I thought was a perfect segue into the small talk section, talking about the Vashon Fire District levy lift proposal, Proposition 1, on your ballots. And I think most of us on Vashon got our ballots in the last couple days. So be sure to get out and vote. And today, our guests are Islanders Dr. Jim Bristow and Amy Dreyer, who are both supporters and very articulate supporters of the proposed Vashon Fire District levy increase. So, Jim and then Amy, will you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, how you got to Vashon, and how you came to be a spokesperson for the support of the fire district levy?
Sure. So I was born in Portland, Oregon. I'm a native Northwesterner. I was educated over the course of a lot of years all the way across the U.S., in the Midwest, in Boston, St. Louis, and ultimately in San Francisco, where I did a pediatric cardiology fellowship and joined the faculty at UCSF and stayed on the faculty for about 15 years. My primary role was as a clinical investigator, and my lab was doing okay, but I really decided after 15 years I probably wasn't going to change the world doing what I was doing. So I changed course and joined the Department of Energy's Joint Genome Institute as their deputy director, and spent the next 15 years doing large-scale genomics largely in support of biofuels research for the Department of Energy. It was really quite a remarkable experience. I moved to Vashon after I retired in 2015 because my sister was already here. I'd been visiting for years. You know, we normally came in November. Once I came in the summer, it became a no-brainer to retire to Vashon. I got to know the fire district reasonably well through the COVID experience because I directed the MRC along with Clayton Olney. And the fire department was really critical to our success and the support we had from the department. And so when the time came to help out the fire department, it was sort of a no-brainer to sign on. And having Matt here has just been a real godsend, and getting to know him a little bit and understand what he's trying to do with the fire district has just been a great opportunity for me.
Fantastic. Well, and we all on Vashon owe you a great deal of thanks for the work you did with the MRC and the Emergency Operations Center and Vashon Be Prepared. I mean, Vashon got through COVID in a way that many communities did not, and it was all as a result of yours and a lot of other people's efforts. But we all appreciate that, Jim,
absolutely,
very much.
Thank you. It wasn't alone by any means.
It takes a village, as they say, right? Yes. So, Amy, tell us a little bit about yourself. Background,
sure.
How you came to Vashon, how you came to support the fire levy increase.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, my family moved to Vashon when I was 5 to be up near our family that was already on the island. And so, you know, I came up here and went all the way through high school here. And, you know, my family has been supported and helped and had our lives saved by the Vashon Fire community for decades now. And, you know, I remember, you know, the first time I was saved, so to speak, by Vashon Fire and Rescue was by, you know, it was kind of the time of volunteers, and it was in the 80s, and I crashed my bike and broke my collarbone, and I was, you know, lying in our neighbor's yard, And, you know, funnily enough, my mom had broken her ankle just a couple weeks prior and was on crutches. And so when she came to help, she dropped her crutch and broke, like, you know, like messed up my nose. So, you know, there I was lying on the ground with a bloody face. And, you know, what I didn't know was then a broken collarbone. And, you know, Vashon Fire had turned out a couple weeks before to help my mom who dropped a refrigerator on an ankle. But anyway, that story, the kind of kicker in that story is that Vashon Fire turned out it was from Bill Burby's memorial service. It was the same night. And so, you know, volunteers and personnel came and nobody knew if maybe I had a broken neck. You know, they C-collared me up and really took care of me. And that was sort of my first interaction. And, you know, I've been airlifted off the island. My aunt was airlifted off the island a couple times when I was growing up. And, you know, I absolutely firsthand as a person and as a family experienced what it was to have the volunteer community that we did in the 80s. And, you know, I think there's been some oppositional positioning of the levee as sort of a then versus now, and, you know, how we made it work then, and, you know, how that doesn't maybe fit or contradicts the culture that we have now, and that we can't be sort of the two Vashons of how it was and where we want to go. You know, most recently, my interaction with the fire department that continued to reinforce my appreciation for what these folks are doing for us is, you know, I had a life-threatening cardiac event last summer, and Vashon Fire showed up for me. And minutes, you know, really, really made a difference for me. Then, you know, I was having my defibrillator was malfunctioning and firing repeatedly. And, you know, Vashon Fire came to Burton and they were there within about 10 minutes, right? Which, you know, 10 to 12 minutes, and which is a very strong response time for our island. And, you know, it occurs to me that, you know, with something like that going off every 4 seconds, minutes, you know, seconds really made a difference for me. And, you know, even when we rolled into UW, you know, they took me all the way to University of Washington. You know, Randy Tonkin was the first guy on the scene and was with me the whole way over to UW. I didn't have to be transferred to a different ambulance because, you know, of the way things were going. Every time they transferred me, it would go off again. So not having to transfer ambulances made a real difference in my life. But even then, by the time I got there, I had a partially collapsed lung and some cardiac damage. So, you know, 5 more minutes of response time would have really changed my life. And so having been so personally affected and grown up, you know, with the Vashon Fire family, my family was very close with a lot of the volunteer responders. You know, Mr. Kirk was my elementary school principal. So, you know, the volunteer program and the way it was is very, very dear to me. But the way it is now and the way it can be in the future is also something that I, so to speak, hold very close to my heart. And so for me, you know, supporting the fire department is something that we have done for decades. And this is an extension of that.
Oh, great. Good story. Thank you, Amy. So you're both members of For a Safer Vashon, which is a committee, citizens committee, formed to support Proposition 1 for this August 1st election. Could you tell me a little bit about the organization and then also what the proposed levy means to islanders? Jim, maybe you can start with that and then Amy, jump in.
Sure. So the Citizens Committee was put together to support the levy because, as you probably know, the fire district is prohibited from campaigning. They're public officials. They can't use public funds. They can't spend time on the clock to campaign. So the Citizens Committee is put together to forward the rationale for the levy lift. And I think it's important to sort of review again exactly what the levy is and what it does. So the levy allows voters to decide on a regular basis, about every 6 years, whether to allow an increase in fire district tax rates. And that's done not just for the fire district, but for the park district, for the school district. And it's an opportunity for each of these districts to make their case to voters. Specifically, Proposition 1 will raise the fire district tax rate to $1.50 per $1,000 of assessed property value. And it will do that for the next 6 years. That's the maximum rate. It isn't always $1.50, but would be $1.50 in the first year. It also does another important thing. It limits the amount of an increase, regardless of what property values do. Property values can go up 10, 15, even 20%, as they've done on Vashon over the last couple of years, but it limits the increase to 6% annually. We know now that there's a proposal for $1.50 per thousand assessed value. We now know the 2024 assessed values are actually down 12% from 2023. So that partially mitigates what would have been a bigger tax increase should the levy pass. The net is, it's probably easiest to think about this in terms of the average Vashon home. In 2023, the average Vashon home was about $900,000. Incredible to me, but there it is. A 12% decrease from $900,000 gets you down to about $800,000. The increase in assessed value going from $1.13 to $1.50 yields an increase of $171, or the equivalent of about 47 cents a day. That's what the median house on Vashon would see. So that's the increase. It's important to understand what happens in subsequent years. Our opponents have been talking about really massive increases in the fire levy over the course of the next 6 years. That's not historically what happened. Over the course, after the bump that occurred in 2017, when the fire district was essentially in receivership, the increase subsequently was just under 4% over the course of the next 5 years. And that's with pretty significant increases in property values. It's not at all unlikely that property values given the massive increase in property values that we saw over the last couple of years, it's not at all unlikely that property values will fall again next year. If they do, the maximum rate is $1.50. We're already there. So the actual fire district tax burden by individual properties would actually fall. So there's no guarantee that the rate goes up or that it goes down. We just don't know. And that's why we've sort of shied away from making predictions about what it would be. We do know that the opposing view has picked from the taxpayer's perspective anyway, the worst case scenario, the absolute maximum that taxes could increase. Very unlikely that would actually occur.
Yeah, Truman.
All right. So full disclosure, I'm a former Park District commissioner, and so I understand this system very well. It is brought to my attention that the previous rate was $1.50 per thousand. And because the amount of money, not the percentage, but the amount of actual money can only increase 1% per year. That's what it has been. The nominal rate right now is $1.24. So the increase would be from $1.24 to $1.50, which is fine. It's restoring the original rate. My question that I'm a little confused about is, so this year we passed $1.50 per thousand, and we come up with a number, a value. And that value, because of the way the law is written, may only increase that 1% per year. What I'm confused about is, what is the 6% that's included? Does that allow it to remain at $1.50 so that the value does not reduce? Or how does that work? Can you explain that, Jim?
Sure. So if, let's say, property values increase by 10% next year, the fire district is only allowed to ask for, they're not obligated to, but they could ask for as much as 6% of an increase. And when you add that 6% up, it actually would reduce the $1.50 rate to something like $1.40, because property values are increasing faster than their allowable increase in rate.
Okay, so let me stop you there just for a minute, so that we're very clear on this. The first year that the levy passes, you have a dollar value that the fire district gets, and the previous rule was that dollar value could only increase by 1%. So that means even if the property values doubled, that number could not go over that 1% of that original dollar value. So does this mean then that the actual dollar value can go up to 6% over the original amount?
That's right.
Okay, that makes sense.
If the levy were to fail, mm-hmm. the statute that then kicks into place would limit the increase to 1%.
Correct.
But if the levy were to pass, the increase in subsequent years could be as much as 6% if property values support it.
Exactly. So basically, if property values even doubled, that amount is not going to go up by 6%. Only that dollar value is going to go up by 6%, not the rate. So people
That's
need
right.
to understand that yes. 6% does not mean that their property taxes are going to go up 6% each year. That is absolutely not the case. It will just be the 6% over the original value. So
that's correct.
Okay, good.
So, Amy, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the staffing issues here. The website for A Safer Vashon says more first responders save lives and properties. The measure will bring the number of career firefighters, EMTs, up to 6 on duty at any given time, allowing for 3 simultaneous aid calls. Can you explain that a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Proper staffing is one of the things that we will get from this levy increase. I think, obviously for the right reasons, there's a lot of focus on the cost and, what this means for Vashon homeowners. But I'd also like to talk a lot about what Vashon homeowners get out of this and how our community will be safer and our homes will be safer and how there will be actually a lot of savings for a lot of Vashon families. One of the myths that's out there is that the Burton Station is staffed and open. The Burton Station is not staffed. It is not open, and there are not people responding out of Burton. So bringing the staffing level up to 6 people will allow us to full-time staff 2 people at the Burton Station and reopen that Burton Station. And that will provide a huge difference for folks on South Vashon and Maury Islands, right? If all of our crews are responding out of 5-5, which is the station uptown, your response time to Manzanita, to down to Tahlequah, out to Bachelor Road, is much longer than if you are able to, have someone come out of the Burton Station for you. And, there's sort of been some armchair quarterbacking around, how you might staff a fire department. And, for me personally, I trust the folks who have been doing this their whole lives and who are, career firefighters who understand how to, staff a department to really provide the best services to a community. And, we cannot just have one person down in Burton. It is not safe. It is not appropriate staffing. And it also doesn't meet the Washington, the WSRB is the rating board that decides how much risk your insurance will be taking on. And there's a number that they assign to you based on, how long it takes a fire department to get to you, whether or not you have a fire hydrant. And there's, I think it might be a subsequent question, but if we do not staff Burton, the WSRB rating will go to 9 for many Vashon families who are more than 5.1 road miles from Station 55 uptown. And that increase from we are currently rated at a 5, that increase to a 9 from the WSRB will mean 30 to 100% increases in your fire insurance for your home. And so we do need to have two people at that Burton station to prevent that insurance. And we are absolutely encouraging people to call your insurance agent. They will absolutely talk it through you, but that increase in insurance will be more than the cost of the levy, much, much more for many homes. So we need to get that Burton station staffed for safety reasons, for WSRB reasons. It must be two people. We can't just sort of patchwork things through. And we also need to keep the amount of staff that we have at the Station 55 uptown, because otherwise we are going to significantly erode service to the north end of the island, which is, you know, a much more populous, sort of dense part of the island. So proper staffing is something that we are going to get out of this levy, and there are many other things that the community will get. It is not sort of a levy. In 2017, we were keeping Vashon Fire alive. We were keeping them away from bankruptcy. This year, we have the opportunity to build on what we have created.
Truman.
As a former volunteer firefighter in the late 70s, I was based out of the Burton Station. And my question is, there's not facilities there for 24 hours. So will that station be manned 24/7? And if so, will it take four people to do that, or can two people actually stay 24 hours?
Correct. Well, so, you know, there is a shift model, right? So it is done through different shifts, right? It's not, you know, maybe Jim knows a little bit more about shift models, but it will be two people on shift. And right now the fire station is planning to figure out how to house them. There is a plan. And the fire station, Vashon Fire and Rescue has a plan. It is a strategic plan created with broad community input and with a lot of very expert input. And so there is a plan to stand up housing, a tiny home for folks to be there full time, 24 hours, two folks.
And that temporary quarters has been approved. There's a permit to place it. The plan would be to place it in November should the levy pass, and we have the staff to actually put there.
Okay.
Great. Could you guys talk also about the insurance issue? I mean, Amy, you sort of touched on it. How does that work, and what can homeowners, particularly homeowners at the extreme ends of the island, expect?
Jim, why don't you jump in? I gave my take on it. You go ahead. And
yeah. So the Washington State Ratings Board reviews the situation on Vashon every 6 years. When they last did so, the Burton Fire Station was staffed. Through the loss of volunteer firefighters, the decision was made to close the Burton Station some time ago. And so as a result of that, if the station is not staffed and there's not a clear plan to staff it, then the people that previously were within 5 miles of the Burton station will now be more than 5 miles or up to 10 miles from the staff station in town. And that triggers an increased fire risk that the WSRB codifies and that insurance companies then use to understand their own risk, which gets translated into increased rates. If listeners want to look at the map of Vashon and how it will change with and without staffing of the Burton station, the maps are posted on the VIFR website, vifr.org. If you look under resources page, there's a levy lid lift page. And at the bottom of that page, there's a documents section that lists the WSRB reports and shows the maps. And it's there. You can see whether you'd likely to be to see an insurance increase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Craig.
I just want to get clear on one point. I want to get clear on a lot of points, but one point.
Sure, take them one at a time.
Well, right now I'm just going to ask one. It has to do with the staffing, of course, which we've been talking about. There has been increased staff, hasn't there, under the prior levy, so that the number of full-time firefighters has gone up. in the last 6 years?
Yeah, so they have added staff recently. There were a number of unstaffed positions previously, which Chief Vinci has moved aggressively to fill. So there, but it, for firefighter EMT, is 600 hours of training, so it takes some time.
Right.
There are seven. There are seven full-time professional firefighters that will be joining the fire district very shortly. That increases staffing from. Will allow increase in staffing from 4 to 5 per shift, a captain and four firefighter EMTs. The levy would allow the addition of a sixth person per shift.
Okay. Let me just join the issue here, just real clearly. The opposition, if I understand correctly, says that with the current staff, you could put 2 firefighters down in Burton, and not have to close that and increase the insurance rates would increase, et cetera, et cetera. What's your response to that statement?
It is possibly true. I mean, you could put 2 people there, but now you don't have a complete engine company in town. Mm-hmm. So if there's a fire, you've got to put together an engine company. Mm-hmm. And the goal here is to provide better service to the south end of the island without degrading service for the north end of the island. If you're just driving your peas around the plate, you could make things better from the insurance standpoint, arguably, but from a management standpoint, it's just not the right decision.
Okay,
yeah, Truman.
Go ahead, Kevin, and I'll jump in after Kevin.
Thanks, Truman. Yeah, and that, Jim, kind of a follow-on to Craig's question, which has been on my mind. So with the Burton Station staffed, I'm curious what type of services you could dispatch from there. And I assume that you'll be responding based on what the needs are. But what would you envision the range of services could be provided from Burton once it's staffed?
Yeah, I think the primary service that would be provided would be faster response with an aid car for medical emergencies. And those medical emergencies make up the vast majority of calls for the fire district. So that's the primary service. I think they would put fire trucks there. I'm not sure which vehicles would actually be put there. But when there's a structure fire on Vashon, you know, it's an all hands on deck sort of event because we can't depend on mutual aid. It takes an hour to get here from nearby communities, unlike communities on the mainland. And I think that's when you look at staffing models, Vashon stands out because we're an island and because nobody's coming to help. We need more people here than equivalent communities in, say, rural central Washington that can rely on other communities that are nearby to help them out.
And that's an hour on a good day during a certain time of day.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
A really good day.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. When you have a 3-boat service, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, well, 4. County Tahlequah.
Yeah, right, yeah.
As a South Ender.
Truman, you had a question.
Yeah, my question is, I've been kind of out of the loop for the last year or so because of some personal issues that I've had, but I was working with the ham radio group staffing the Burton Station where we would coordinate the CERT activity out of that station. Is that still operational, and how would that work with the increased staffing?
Yeah, I have to say, I'm not sure. I know CERT is actively, after COVID, they were focused, the effort, CERT efforts were focused on the COVID response and are now getting back to search and rescue and earthquake response that, right. That's been historically their focus. I have to say I'm not certain how staffing of the Burton Station would work and the extent to which CERT would be operating out of there.
Okay, thanks.
So let's talk about vehicles. So, you know, Vashon has some of the oldest emergency vehicles in King County. You know, what will the levy do to address that issue? And how do you respond to the opponents who contend that the fire district should borrow to replace outdated vehicles?
Sure. So the fire department does have a replacement strategy for these vehicles, right? And it is not safe to use outdated and breaking down vehicles for your emergency response plan, right? And so the fire district has a replacement plan. And one of the things that I've learned over the course of being involved with the campaign is that there is no new ambulance car lot. You do not, you know, drive up and drive away with the keys to your shiny new ambulance, right? It takes a lot of planning. They have to build the engines, build the chassis. You know, they have to pull the pieces together to get you the ambulance that you need. And the fire department is planning for that. And, you know, when you are looking to borrow money, you have to look around at the environment in which you are borrowing money. And sometimes money is expensive and sometimes money is cheap, right? And when you make a decision to borrow money, and particularly with the fire department, right, this is, you know, the taxpayers who are ultimately taking on the cost of that money. And right now, if you're looking at bonds of, you know, at 3.5% or even higher, money is expensive. And there is a reserve that has been put together by former leadership at Vashon Fire and Rescue. And there is some money available. If we can augment that money, the fire department can make the best fiscal decision right now to get in line to start buying some new vehicles. And we can do that affordably without adding to the taxpayer burden and having taxpayers, you know, give money to the banks, right? Why would we pay interest when, you know, we can directly reinvest the taxpayer money into the vehicles that we need, into greener vehicles that aren't running with exhaust while they're on the boats. You know, our ambulances have to be running all of the time, right, to provide air and the power that we need. And those ambulances are running while they're on the ferry boats. And new ambulances can be outfitted with, you know, greener technology that allows the vehicle to provide the air conditioning and all the power needed without running the actual vehicle. So there are a number of reasons, you know, why we need the new vehicles and also why it is a better use of taxpayers' money to do some purchases outright versus bond issues. And Jim, I don't know if you have more to add to that.
Not a lot. I mean, I think it's one of the things that we'll need to get sorted out over the course of the coming months because property values dropped. The expected revenue from the levy increase is about half of what it was expected to be a few months ago. So there may be a time in the future as interest rates come down and as initial, the most immediate need is to replace a couple of aid cars. And that is already in the works with existing funding. But where we go from there will depend on what happens with interest rates and what happens exactly with the levy and revenues that are available from the levy. So there are times when borrowing money through a bond makes sense, and there are other times when if you've got the revenues, it's cheaper to spend money that you already have than to borrow money. So I wouldn't say that the district will never borrow money, because if we're going to rebuild the Burton station or another station, not in Burton, but nearby, that's going to probably require a bond in the future. Yeah, never say never. But at this point, the initial funding is available to get started on purchasing new equipment, and we'll keep our powder dry. Our VFR will keep their powder dry and wait for interest rates to improve before putting a bond forward.
Right. Well, let me ask you both, and maybe Amy and then Jim, you can respond in terms of why do you think voting yes is an essential investment for the community?
Sure. We saw what happened before 2017. They had not put a bond forward for a couple of decades. And in 2017, Vashon Fire and Rescue was in near bankruptcy. And it is a dangerous position to put your community, to put your emergency services near bankruptcy. Vashon Be Prepared exists for a reason. We saw so much happen in the COVID pandemic. We have learned so personally in the last few years what it means to be prepared. And emergency services are there to be prepared. You know, I'm here in the studio today and Jim is, you know, coming in via internet. And that is a redundancy built in case, you know, the internet went out, right? We wanted to have someone here. So the fundamental job of emergency services is to be prepared. When you call 911, you want someone to come and help you. You call 911 because your loved one is having a cardiac event, because your house is burning down. You know, you want someone on the other end who is driving the right vehicle, who has the right equipment, who is going to be there in time to provide the help that you need. And underfunding our most critical emergency services is a dangerous community choice. And, you know, I am not here to dismiss anyone's concerns about money and how much it costs to live on this island. And, you know, I have personally, through the decades, experienced the change of what it means to live on Vashon and the sacrifices that we make to live on Vashon. But to me personally, sacrificing the health and safety of our community members, we are, you know, a largely over 55 community. We have, you know, just as many medical needs. We have many folks who do their own home repairs. We have many folks who, you know, who live in homes that are remote and maybe have some, you know, high decks, so to speak. But, you know, many, many people write about the dangers of rural living. And, you know, intentionally underfunding our emergency services is not a danger that we need to take on. We can realize so many benefits from passing this levy. And, you know, $20 a month more from the owner of a $700,000 home is going to make a huge difference for the safety of our community. We're going to cut response times in half to some of our remote places to the island. We are going to allow our fire department to plan for the future and to be the prepared agency that we want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks. Jim, anything to add to that?
Hard to add too much to that. But I do think at the end of the day, just to sort of repeat what Amy said, it's really about what kind of community you want to live in. We are an aging community with many of whom have serious medical problems. And you don't, everybody's happy with emergency services until you need to use them. And then that response time becomes absolutely critical. A house fire doubles every minute, and the likelihood of surviving a cardiac event drops by 10% every minute. So those minutes really, really count. It's really about the kind of community you want to live in. I don't have kids, but I vote, and I don't like to pay taxes, but I vote for the school levy because I think we need top flight schools on Vashon. And I think the same thing is true for our fire department. We should have a top flight fire department because we're on our own. We've learned that very much during the pandemic. So this seems not the place to scrimp on taxes.
And I, you know, I just want to add, there's sort of this question out there of why can't it be like it was in the 90s? Why can't we do what we did in the 90s? And, you know, the bottom line there is that it is not the 90s anymore. And we are the last community standing in King County who is trying to put together this sort of patchwork of services for our emergency response. You know, Enumclaw is not doing it anymore. Skyway is not doing it anymore. We cannot go back to the 90s. You know, we can make a choice to move forward together and support each other as much as we possibly can and, you know, do what we can to lift folks up who are marginalized and struggling in many ways. But the short answer is it is not the 90s and we cannot go back there. And I want to be a part of putting together a plan for the future for everyone.
Thanks. Yeah, Kevin and then Truman.
Yeah, I just want to amplify the time issue. You know, there are two people that I know on Vashon who would be very lucky to be alive today. Their significant cardiac events, in one case, the individual's heart literally stopped and this person would literally have been declared dead had they not been at the North End ferry dock where people had a defibrillator. They could immediately attend to their needs. The basis of my experience is with wilderness first aid training, where they really talk about the how in a society where you have rapid response, how many lives you can save. And when you have those delays, like if you're an hour from a trailhead, you really need to have an additional set of knowledge about how to keep a hiking buddy alive. It's one thing to hear from, well, yeah, it'd be better, you know, if you can get there quicker. It means it really is lives saved. And I literally, at least one of my acquaintances, if not both of them, wouldn't be here today if they hadn't been in proximity. So bringing the fire services closer to the people where they live, I think is very important for people to consider as they go forward with this vote.
Great. Yeah, Truman.
Yeah, all I wanted to say is that I mentioned earlier I was a volunteer firefighter here in the late 70s and responded to a number of incidents. And I can assure you that now at the advanced age that I am right now, I have no interest in volunteering. And I can understand completely, as our island ages, how the volunteerism is going to be reduced over time simply because we're all getting older and not willing to go out and risk ourselves in the way that we
well,
did.
Well, one of the interesting statistics, actually, is there's this has been looked at nationwide, and there's you can basically predict the number of volunteer firefighters that you'll have in a community based on the demographics of the
exactly.
community. And Vashon has way more, not surprisingly, way more volunteers than you'd expect based on its demographics, which is elderly, but it's not enough. And it's the volunteers that we have had end up getting trained. They come here to get trained, to get put through the fire academy, and they use that as a stepping stone to
sure.
To getting jobs elsewhere.
Sure.
It's not like Truman's experience where he lived in the community, was part of the community, and doing the volunteer fire department work as a community service. That's
right.
Not the way it's often seen by many of today's volunteers.
Yeah,
unfortunately, and again, as Amy said, that was then, this is now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And if people want to learn more about why they should approve this Proposition 1, where would you suggest they go?
Two places, forasafervashon.org. That's the Citizens Committee website, which has a lot of information there. VIFR website is also a source of deep information about VIFR. Their budget is posted there. Their strategic plan is posted there. Lots of information that goes deeper than the Citizens Committee does. And that's VIFR.org.
Okay, great. Thanks. And could you comment on the editorial in the Beachcomber last week?
Amy?
I think we have sort of extensively covered, and, you know, one of the things we don't want to get into is, you say this, I said that, you said, you know, I don't know that that moves a discussion forward. I hope that we have clearly articulated what we are going to get and what we're going to receive from this levy and how much it will cost. You know, it's that $20 a month for the owner of a $700,000 home, and we've got a great pie chart at forasafervashon.org, forasafervashon.org, that shows what it means over a 5-6 year trend for the property values to go up and down, what that actual cost was, what the VIFR share of the pie was over the past 5 years, even when we had substantial property tax increases, ups and downs, the share of the pie stayed very steady. And, you know, it is shocking to look at absolute numbers, but let's look at, you know, what the actual cost to the homeowner is, and that cost to the homeowner, even with property taxes going up, was not sort of an exponential doubling, compounded sort of deal, right? We're not looking at straight math here. We're looking at things that are very complicated. And, you know, we really want to focus on what the community is going to get when we pass this levy.
Right. Great. Thanks. And thank you, Jim. Thank you, Amy. Really appreciate you coming on and having this frank discussion about the levy. We've only got about a minute left. Maybe Craig or Truman, you guys could do a shameless promotion of the Voice of Vashon Thriftway shopping cart raffle?
Well, we do have the raffle on right now, and we're selling tickets at $20 a ticket, or five tickets for $80 for an opportunity to run around Thriftway and for 3 minutes and fill up your cart. People have typically gotten better than $2,000 worth of goods. It's for the Voice of Vashon and our FM and our AM emergency services station.
Yeah, and just to reiterate, 1650 AM, or you can get on our emergency alert services and get emails from Voice of Vashon, and we work directly with the Vashon Be Prepared, and of course with VIFR as well.
So. And I just got $20 from my friend Monique in the state of Ohio. So you don't have to actually live on the island there.
That's right. That's right. All right, folks. We'll see you all next week.
All right. Thank you.